Tuesday, 14th of July, Chokbeis Tammuz, Rabbi Yeshua Herzen, Halacha in the Workplace, Part 3, Interest, Ribbis. Good morning.
A Yid once traveled to Midwest America on business, and he stayed in a frum family there. And one Sunday the family asked him if he'd like to join them in the American tradition of having a barbecue. He was happy to oblige. He's sitting there at the barbecue and he comments how the meat is so delicious. How do they make their meat so delicious? And they tell him, it's simple. We use this barbecue sauce which we buy in our Walmart. It's unbelievable. We've been using it for years. Everyone uses it. It's incredible. He says, let me see. I've never seen this. They don't have this back home where I come from. And he looks at it and he turns around and he says, it doesn't have a hechsher. So they said, it doesn't need a hechsher, it's barbecue sauce. So he starts looking at the ingredients, and he sees number four, the fourth ingredient there, is animal extract. So he says, this is mamish tarfus, it's mamish eating treif. So they said, we've been using it for years, we never had to have enough to check the ingredients. Now, it's a sad story, and when we think about the story, we think about to ourselves, how would we perceive ourselves in that story? Would we say that the person who doesn't bother to even check ingredients is pesher? You know, that's basic negligence. Everybody knows if you're buying something without even checking what's in it, without any hechsher, then you're putting yourself in the firing line. Yet, unfortunately, this is a ma'aseh b'chol yom, whether here in England or America, across the world, when it comes to hilchos ribbis. And I'm referring particularly to contracts. Contracts are something which everybody uses them the whole time, and there seems to be this hargosha that a person needs a contract. You just download one standard rental contract off the internet, it's however many pages long, you know, it's a standard thing, you get it off the internet, you get it from your lawyer, you look at it, you see the Ikar clause 3C and whatever it is, that's exactly the way you wanted it and not the way the client wanted it, and then you're happy, and you sign it, and he signs it, and you give it over. And everybody's happy. But do you stop to look through the contract to see if there's a ribbis clause? If there's a ribbis clause, there's no different than bothering to check the ingredients. Yet there seems to be this perception. Either it's indifference, or probably more likely, there's a lack of appreciation for the fact that these clauses in the contract can be no different than forgetting to check the ingredients on a bottle. If you think I'm overreacting, listen, I'm actually toning it down. Sometimes you have to tone these things down in order for people to accept them. If you listen to the words of the Gemara, I read that word for word. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Omer Rabbi Yosi, Bar Eismias Einem Shel Malvav Ribbis. Come and see how, in English would probably say, how blinkered or how blinded people are who lend with interest. Adam Kari Lechaveri Rosha, Yerit Imu Lechayov. If one neighbor would go up to his friends and call him in the middle of shul, you're a Rasha, then wow, he is suing for libel, his mama should go after him with all he's got. Says the Gemara, the Haim, people who are Malvav Ribbis, maybe him, aid him, they bring witnesses, the Lavla, and a scribe, the Kulmus, and a quill, the Joy and ink, the Chosmin, they write, the Chosmin, they sign, Ploini Zer Kofa Belekei Yisrael. This person, Chas Hashem, denies that Kodesh Baruch Hu exists. Imagine what's going on here. A person's making a whole fast, please come and look, I need the aid, I need everyone to sign, make sure it's good. Please check that I'm writing, what am I writing? By signing on a contract which has ribbis, says the Gemara, it's not my word, says the Gemara, you're being kofa b'lekei yisur. So let's get a little bit clear in the shir today. We've mentioned in the last shir some of the different issues that arise. Today I'd like to focus on one particular issue, and that is the issue of late penalties. The penalties which we have in all contracts, it's a standard issue contract. 99% of contracts are going to have this in, and that's why it's very, very important that we're aware of it, we recognize it for what it is, we see different options possibly how to replace it with methods that do work according to halacha. And sometimes one can't always replace a transaction that's working with an issa with a transaction that's working with a heta exactly the same, but that's what we're all here for, to understand how we should be acting. There are two different types, as far as the halacha is concerned, of late payment charges. There's a late payment charge on a loan, and there's a late payment charge on anything else, whether it's a purchase on a property, or it's a rental contract, or it's a lease, or whatever it might be. Let's start off with late payments on a loan. The Mechaba says in Sim Kufayin Zayin, Yerodei Kufayin Zayin, Sif Yudalit. Ha'im elechaveri, im lo yafarecha lezman pleni, hari nichayev lecha ma'achshov, lezman ha'ikuv, kach dinun. Also, ne haramas vivis. What's going on? Standard interest, as we know it, is I lend someone £1,000, and I tell him I'd like him to pay me a rate of 5% interest a year, and as the time continues, the interest accumulates, and that is ribis, that's ribis deraisa, that's ribis as we know it. Here we have an interesting situation where it's not literally speaking interest, because I'm not, what is the definition of interest? Let's go to the basics. The Gemara says, ribis is aganota. Aganota means, I, the loiver, when I borrow money, I'm paying him for the time that he's lending me his money. He's got money, he's giving me money for a month, I have to give him back the same money. So because he's let me have his money for a month, I'm paying him for the time that I borrowed the money. What we're discussing here is something slightly different here. Here we're discussing a penalty. So you could have, theoretically, exactly the same end result, that I borrow, lend someone £1,000, and I get back £1,050. But instead of me, l'chachila, setting up that this is the interest rate he's meant to pay me, instead, on a penalty, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm lending you £1,000 interest-free for 30 days. But you have to make sure you pay me back on the 30th day. If you don't pay me back on the 30th day, there's going to be a penalty. What could be conceived as being a knas. It's a penalty for not honoring your obligation. You've obliged yourself to pay me back in 30 days. You haven't met your obligation. There's a penalty. There's a penalty that you have to pay me, let's say, £50 on the £1,000. That's a penalty. So the question is that ribis or is that not ribis? So the Mechaber says quite clearly that it's not really ribis. It's only haromas ribis. Haromas ribis is there's different stages of ribis. Very briefly, there's ribis deraisa, which is called ribis ketutza, and that has certain conditions one has to have. It has to be fixed from the beginning, and other conditions. Then there's ribis drabonon, which is called avak ribis. And then you have another few different levels. You have ribis mucheres, ribis demes, which we'll go into later on. And you've got haromas ribis. Haromas ribis is kima on the bottom rung of the ladder of as far as severity of the issa. Haromas ribis means in actual halachic definition of ribis, it doesn't meet the halachic definition. It's not ribis. But Chazal, only Midrabanan, were worried that people are going to try and do these kinds of legal loopholes, if you want, to try and bypass the system and still actually be malva ribis, or different ways of learning it, or the Rajah actually says in this case it might even be considered ribis mucheres, because I'm lending someone money, and at the end of the day they pay me back the money with extra money. It's a problem. But why isn't it actually ribis? Why isn't it ribis deraisa? The reason is that is, as we said, ribis is aganota. Ribis is where what I'm paying for is the time. Now let's take this loiver. He's borrowed money for 30 days, and it says there's a penalty clause in the contract. If he doesn't pay back by the 30th day, there's a penalty of £50. What does that mean? When he pays the £50, is he paying for the 30 days which he's borrowed it? Definitely not. Horaya, if he'd pay back the choyv on time, he wouldn't have to pay a penny. Fine. Now that he's paid the £50 knas, has he gained himself any time that he can now hold the money for longer? Also not. The penalty isn't giving him time. He's not Maviach Zman with this penalty. The penalty is saying, you are over on not fulfilling your obligation, you get a fine, that's it. So that is why a penalty has got nothing to do with ribis as such. You're not paying for the time, you don't benefit by the penalty at all. However, Chazal said it's also because of Haram Muslims. The Mechaber here is speaking about on a loan. When I lend someone £1,000, he gives me back £1,050, it doesn't look right, it's haram asubis, and we say it's a problem. However, because it's only haram asubis, it's very kedai to know that if someone has signed up to such a contract, and now he comes to the shir, and he hears that the Shulchan Aruch says it's also, so he wants to come and ask the shaila, what am I meant to do? I've just passed over the time, and it says in the contract, if I pass over the 30th day, I have to pay the £50 penalty. Am I allowed to pay? I don't want to be over on ribis. So then halacha is clear, that since it's only haram asubis, he's still mechuyev to meet his obligation. He obliged himself, he signed on the dotted line, he was mechuyev himself to pay. If he goes over the date, he has to fulfill his obligation. In other words, the issa of haram asubis is purely lechachila. Lechachila, one is not allowed to put oneself in a situation where one will have to pay this penalty. Second of all, we have different gedorim of b'di'evet when it comes to ribis. You all know that a person actually pays ribis, which is ribis de'iraisa, then he is mechuyv al pi'alochas yotzim dayanim, he's mechuyv to repay that money. Whether exactly what koyach person have is a dispute, but midaraisa is actually mechuyv to pay back that money. If it's only ribis de'rabbonon of avak ribis, then there's a lot of yisidei shamayim. That means that the malva can't come to him and say, sorry, the loiva can't come to the malva and say, no, pay me back. It's got nothing to do with you. It's not your geshef. But the malva should know that lotzi yisidei shamayim, he should have to pay it back. On haromas ribis, there isn't even a lotzi yisidei shamayim. There's no chiyuv whatsoever. It was something which Chazal didn't want him to do initially because they don't like this kind of behavior. But since there's actually nothing intrinsically wrong, there's no obligation on him to repay this penalty. Now, let's be very clear here. The penalty that you've been speaking about till now is a one-off penalty. What happens in a case when a person has multiple penalties? So I meant to pay back this £1,000 by the 30th. If I haven't paid it back after 30 days, then every 10 days that I haven't paid it back, I'll have to pay another £50. So what happens then? Is it the same or not? So in principle, one might think it should be the same because the principle is the same. I don't gain any time. Because if I pay before each penalty, I won't have to pay the penalty. And even when I pay the penalty, a minute later, I still have to pay back the chayv straight away. I haven't bought myself any time. So on the surface, it would seem that there is no problem with ribis. However, the Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly, in Siv Tzayin, Im chayv atzmei losis lemal v'kach v'kach v'kol shavua, v'oid shema'akev v'moynei, ha'izei ribis gomu. Says Ramo, ha'go afogav v'kosov v'kach derech knosla. Even if you write this as a knos, you're not writing this as interest, you're writing it as a penalty. And definition of penalty is that the moment you have to pay the penalty, you still have to pay the chayv a minute later. Nevertheless, this is ribis gomel. Mashas Mazbe, this pashas according to most mafoshim is ribis deraisa. Why? Because once you're already saying that every month that I haven't paid back, I have to pay another £50, that has the tsura of ribis. That we already look at as ribis. Then we don't start looking at whether you gain time, haven't gained time. Once it's a regular payment scheme, so whether you're calling it a knas or whether you're calling it interest, becomes irrelevant, and that's also right. So that's a very clear distinction between the two options, a one-off penalty and multiple penalties. This becomes more nogea when we move on now to the next topic. The next topic, which is probably more shliach, I would hope, is the penalty, late penalty, when it comes to rental agreements, rental contracts, right? The landlord wants to make sure you're paying your rent on time. He puts in their late penalty, or it's there already in the contract late penalty, or a person, as we mentioned in the last year, the person selling the property wants to make sure you're going to complete on time, so he puts in their late penalty. Let's first put on the side the exchange and completion. We'll discuss that mitzvah at the end of the year. As we mentioned in the last year, that has different gedorim because of the mechanics of how it works. Let's discuss purely the purchase or the rental contracts with a late penalty. Here, the Mechaber says that when was there a problem of haroma service on a one-off penalty? Only by a choiv. Because by a choiv, if I borrow £1,000 cash and I pay back £1,050 cash, it looks like ribs. That's what it looks like. But on a mekach, if I'm buying something for X amount and I've already received the mekach, and now I haven't yet paid, and he's given me 30 days to pay, and I haven't yet paid, and it meets the deadline, and now he makes me pay more, that doesn't look like ribis. Since in any case it's only on a mekach, it wasn't on a straight halvor, and there the halacha is, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a one-off penalty. So let's take rent. I'm meant to pay £1,000 rent a month, so the 1st of January is when I'm meant to pay the rent. I don't pay it, let's say by the 15th of January, the client, the landlord can put in a clause, if I haven't paid by the 15th of January, I have to pay another £50. Fine. What you can't do, what's also pashus even midoraisa, is what plenty of people unfortunately seem to be unaware of, is to download one of these contracts, sign up with your tenant, and now when he pays the rent late, then the maaseh is going to have to pay proper interest on that chayv. That's mamish ribis. We'll see later on what happens if you have no intention of actually claiming the interest, signing up on that contract either without even realizing, or even if you realize, but you want it there as an incentive to make sure he pays the rent on time, but you're not actually going to collect the interest. But let's leave that to the end of the shoe, Master Shem. Pardon? Why is it mamish interest? You're saying if he hasn't paid you the rent by a certain time, then you're starting charging interest on the money which he owes you. No, no, nothing as a knas. I'm talking about a regular contract.
Interest clause.
Interest clause, where you're charging regular payments. Yeah. Now, let me clarify that. This halacha which we're discussing by Mecca, like we differentiated by a halvor, between a one-off penalty and multiple penalties, when it comes to Mekach, we only allow the one-off penalty, because like we said before, that's not really ribis. So by a halvor, we look at that as haramas ribis. By a Mekach, we don't have that problem. But multiple penalties, which you mentioned before, is ribis gomel, so loshon ramor, ribis gomel. So when it's ribis gomel, that we don't differentiate between Mekach halvor, we can't, because ribis is ribis. So then, if a person has a rental contract, says if you haven't paid the rent by a certain date, then you get knossos, even if he calls it knossos, at the rate of whatever it is, every 10 days is an extra knoss, or every month an extra knoss, that is ribis gomel, there's no heter for it whatsoever.
Can I just ask, is there any difference between a voluntary loan and an involuntary loan? You don't really want to lend him the money.
Which case are you talking about? You don't
the case where you rent him, where you sold him something, you don't want to lend him the money.
Correct.
So are the halakhas exactly the same?
No, that's what we're saying. There's a difference between a loan, a contract that's a loan, and a mekach. A mekach, you don't lend him the money. You've told him he has to pay you by a certain date. If now he doesn't pay you, you're allowed a one-off penalty, even though by loan you're not.
Why only one-off? It remains an involuntary
loan. Right, but in the end of the day, it is a loan. Whether you wanted to... Let me ask you a question. If you pressure me and pressure me and pressure me till eventually I lend you £1,000, I would tell everyone that's an involuntary loan. But at the end of the day...
To them,
because I did it of my own free will. Okay, so here he's breaching that because he's gone against the contract, and therefore he's now. That's why you want to penalize him. You're right. You're right in theory, but the Mishnah is very clear that even knossos, that's the more we read that before. Knossos, by definition, is where you're penalizing him for breaking the contract. So that's clear. It's involuntary. But nevertheless, once it's multiple, it's considered already like proper ribis. So now let's go back. When it comes to ribis, when it comes to the rental contract, we need to come up with a solution what landlords are meant to put in the contract. So there's a major problem here. If you're only allowed to have a one-off penalty, now let's just be a bit clearer here. January, I'm meant to pay January's rent on the 1st of January. If I haven't paid by the 15th of January or by the 30th of January, then he puts in a penalty, I have to pay another £50. February's rent is a new business, that's a new discussion. There's nothing wrong on having another penalty on February's rent. If I haven't paid February's rent by the 15th of February or 30th of February, he can put on me another £50. But the problem is, the obvious flaw is, that January's rent, where he's putting on me a £50 penalty if I don't pay it by the 15th, so I didn't pay it by the 15th, now I've invoked that penalty. I owe him another £50. What incentive is there on me now to pay the rent? That's the whole reason why on these contracts you have multiple penalties, that if you break one, then there's still another one making sure you pay up. But if the halacha is saying you're only allowed a one-off penalty, there's an obvious problem. So some poskim say, this is business advice, it's nothing to do with halacha, some poskim say, so make the penalty larger than normally the interest would be. So in other words, it's more of an incentive for him to make sure he doesn't break the penalty, especially at the moment. Interest rates are extremely low, so if it's just going to be interest, how much is he going to have to pay? Hey, you make a larger penalty, for example, £50 on £1,000, that's quite a good return, in 15 days or 30 days. So there already, we're hoping it's not in his interest to break it. But nevertheless, so what happens if he does? So now that he breaks it, you're in trouble. Now that he breaks it, he's got no incentive to pay. So again, as business advice, and on business advice I don't take achrayas, not mekabel achrayas, but a possible solution is if you write in the contract that any money that's paid to the landlord, and the same thing will be on any of these similar contracts, any money which is paid to the landlord will be taken in arrears for the money that's owed back, in other words, the money that's owed from the earlier state, then you have a partial solution. Because January, if he hasn't paid by the 15th of January, there's going to be a £50 penalty. Fine, the 15th of January has been and gone, he owes you the £50. How are you going to get him to pay that £50 now? How are you going to get him to pay January's rent? So it is, he doesn't want to invoke a penalty for February's rent. So February, he's going to make sure he pays you on time. When he comes and pays you February's rent, it's written in the contract that you're not taking it for February. You're taking it for January, because January was owed already prior to February. And if now he wants to pay February's, he's going to have to pay a second time before the 15th of February in order not to invoke that penalty. Again, this is Eitzus, how to try and get around the problem that the fact that one-off penalty has its limitations. But nevertheless, that is the halacha. When it comes to rental, when it comes to purchases, one is allowed only a one-off penalty on each payment that is due. On each payment that is due, for example, each month you rent, you can have a one-off penalty. And how, what you do with that one-off penalty to try and make it work, I'll tell you my name. But multiple payments of interest or knosses are mafurish also. Now let's move on to this exchange and completion. Right, so this is extremely negea. Person purchases the property and he puts down a down payment, he's exchanged on the property, he's got, let's say, 3 months to complete, and it's written in the contract that if he doesn't complete after 3 months, then there's a penalty. Right, and that penalty also isn't normally going to be a one-off penalty in standard contracts, but for the same reason that we mentioned before. So is this a problem or is this not a problem? On the surface, one would think this is exactly what we've been discussing. It's no different than the rent, it's no different than a mekach. It should be a problem, and therefore you should be restricted to a one-off penalty. And you hear you don't even have the eitzah which we said by rent. By rent there's another month's rent, which is an incentive to get him to pay the previous month's rent. Here there's a completion, that's all there is. All the money's meant to give you is to complete. Now, this is not so clear. As we mentioned briefly in the last year, this could well depend on the big legal machlekes on what is an exchange and what is a completion. Now, basically, there are two mahalchim in how it works. Now, I'm not the lawyer here, but having spoken to a number of lawyers, I don't think they're much clearer than we are. There's a big debate as to what is an exchange. Is an exchange, there's two basic options on what it is. Is an exchange, this, the most posh way, is an exchange is a down payment on a property. Yes, I have an interest in that property, but lemaisa, I've the person who, let's say I've exchanged on a property. So yes, I now have an interest in that property. Yes, I've now obliged myself, or in halachic terms, I've been mechayev myself, if I've done it in a way that works halachically. I've been mechayev myself to complete. That means I've been mechayev myself to pay the rest, the 80-90% on the completion date. But nothing actually at the moment now is mine. I have a beneficial interest in this property, but the property, who does it belong to? It belongs still to the seller. Right? That's the first way of learning. The second way of learning is that the person, when I put down my down payment on the exchange, I've actually already bought the house, and I now owe the remaining money which I'm takachayev to pay on the completion date, but the property really belongs to me. Nafgimina, from a legal point of view, very often the halacha and law differentiate because the law doesn't place that greater emphasis on kinyonim. Halacha, it's all about kinyonim. But upon him, there is a nafgimina here from the legal point of view, from legal perspective, and that's when it comes to insurance. When it comes to insurance, if between exchange and completion, this house, Chas v'Shalom, burns to the ground, and neither party has insured it, so what happens next? So that's why, because the courts aren't really sure, it depends on the whims of the judge, what is actually meant to happen in such a case, that's why any lawyer will tell you that you have to make sure it's written in the contract clearly who's meant to insure the property, and often you have both parties insuring the property, because they're not really sure as to what is the status of this property. Now, why is this negia to us? It's negia to us for the following reason. Pashtus, if you learn that the second mahalach, that it's a kinyan, that the person who's exchanged has bought the house already now, just he owes the rest of the money as a chayv, so then there's a problem. Then there's a problem having a late payment penalty, because he's bought the property on the 1st of January, he's meant to complete on the 1st of August, 1st of April, whatever it might be, and so that means that he's bought the property now and he owes the money only from the 1st of April. But the 1st of April comes, he actually owes that money. He owes that money for something which he's already bought, which he's already been koina. So now, if you're going to start charging him regular knosses for not paying on time, that's halacha we learned before. That's halacha like by rent. You're not allowed to do that.
One class
you can. No, one class for sure you can.
You're saying it's a loan.
No, not saying it's a loan. Not saying it's a loan. It's no different than rent. Rent, you're meant to pay on a certain date, and if you haven't paid it by then, I can charge you. I'm putting in the contract from the beginning that if you haven't paid on the due date for the payment, it's a payment, it's not a repayment. It's not a repayment of a loan, it's a payment for services, rent, a contract, a building, it's a payment for something. So if at the beginning of the contract I say, I'm giving you 3 months to pay me back, to pay me for the property which you're purchasing, So if I haven't paid by that day, you're going to invoke a penalty. One-offs, no problem. That's 100% of achilah. The problem is most people aren't going to want to put a one-off for the reasons we've already spoken about. So if you say, I'm going to pay me from then, and if not, there's going to be penalties, then it's a problem. But if you learn, I'll be pashed as how it is, that an exchange is not a kinyan. Exchange purely gives you beneficial interest. However, we leave it to the lawyers to come up with the right shbach on exactly what you do and don't have. But in actual fact, it still belongs to the moicha, the person selling it, which from a ribbis angle you should know is definitely better to learn, for the basic reason that standard practice is that the moicha takes the rent, the person selling it takes the rent till the time of completion. And if in fact the sale has already gone through, just the money is owed to the moicha, to the seller, by the person who's buying it, you've got a very serious ribbis problem here, because the halacha is, if I buy a house off you and I haven't, and it's taka mine, yet I haven't given you all the money, it's mufurish mishnah that if you're going to take the person selling it, are going to take the payers, if you're going to take the rent until completion, that's mamash ribbis, because the reason you're taking the payers, the reason you're taking the rent, is because I haven't yet paid you the rest of the money I owe you.
The big difference is that you cannot take possession of the house, whereas if you're not paying for it, you take it from the moment of the kinyan.
You're right, you're 100% right, but if in the end of the day it still belongs to me, why are you taking the rent?
It's a question of what means about belong.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. No, we're going now outside that it does belong. So Elamai, Pashtus, I'm not going to pass an illegal shayla here, but Pashtus, it doesn't belong to the person who's exchanged. So if it doesn't belong to the person who's exchanged, then the completion date is merely a date when he's obliged himself to purchase something. But until he actually purchases, I'm not in any way condoning someone for breaching contract and not honoring their words on completing on a date that they oblige themselves to complete. Some people think that it's, use a lashon, it's not also to complete on time. Chas v'shalom, no, it's not also. A person has been mechayev himself to complete on time. But if he doesn't fulfill his obligation, it's not a choiv, and it's not even money that's owed as such. And therefore it could well be, that there's no problem of making even multiple knossos on that completion, because at the end of the day you don't yet owe the money, you just haven't fulfilled your obligation. And in fact, the Minchas Yitzchok, in Chelek Hei,
once the day comes, he
doesn't owe it yet. Once the day comes, he's contractually obliged to go ahead with the sale. And if he hasn't gone ahead with the sale, so he hasn't, he doesn't yet owe it. Minchas Yitzchok, in Chelek Hei, Simon Yotes, and please listen very carefully to this, because I've been quoted this Minchas Yitzchok, that Minchas Yitzchok paskins that an exchange is not a kinyan. That's not the case. Minchas Yitzchok, in the person asking the shayla, he writes as follows. It's Minchas Yitzchok chelek hei in your test. Vim lo yitzin hakoneh samania oitz manoi, lo yignu hakinyan ad shishalem hakoneh mashmag yarid. The person asking the shayla made a statement of fact. The mitzias is that an exchange is not a kinyan. And on that basis, he asked Minchas Yitzchok, since it's not a kinyan, is there a problem with the late penalty charges? And on that, the Minchas Yitzchok replied, Mikol makom nira, the hecha denasa ba'ofen haniska. When it works the way that you're mentioning, the ein hakinyan chal ad gemar, not where it's taken off the kinyan, then lava ribis mashnit na kinyan la moicha. Then there's no problem. So the Minchas Yitzchok is clearly being makel and saying, if in fact, he's not answering the legal shayla, but if in fact an exchange is not a kinyan, then there's no problem with having multiple penalty charges. Halacha lemaisa, I'm afraid I'm going to ask you to ask your abonim when the shayla becomes negia, because there are still other areas, lechachila areas to worry about, which we haven't had time to go into. So it's still definitely preferential not to have a late payment penalty charge in an exchange between two yidden. A one-off penalty charge, 100% lechachila, but to have multiple penalty charges, it's lechachila not to have, but one's pash is not mechuyah to lose a whole deal over it, so one should ask a shayla if it becomes negeah. We've got 1 minute left. Let me just tell you what I mentioned before. What happens in the case of a person signs a rental contract with a client and he's got in them multiple penalties or he's got interest clause, whatever it might be, but he has no intention, he's a elachit, he's got no intention of claiming the ribbis, but it's there because he knows what people are like. I want to make sure he pays on time. Is there any problem with that or not? It's a machlekes whether that's a deraisa or not. Mabarish Shein Machrenim seem to hold that the love of Lois Simun applies for writing a contract which has in it ribbis, irrelevant of whether you actually perform on that contract, irrelevant of whether you actually get the money, you claim the ribbis, you don't claim the ribbis, you're meichel, irrelevant. If I sign on the dotted line on a contract which has ribbis, and it's kedai to know, not only is the malva over, the sofer, which nowadays we'd call the lawyer, is also over, the eidim, if there are eidim, are also over. It's very far-reaching, this issa. And Moshe Feinstein, Nigus Moshe, Yoridei Chelik Beisim and Samachay, seems to pass in quite clearly like this, that the issa of Lois Simun, which is a love, the love of Lois Simun, applies just by putting your name on the dotted line. Says Mamashwa, you see what I said at the beginning of the Geshe is not an exaggeration. Mamashwa Gemara says, we're so muppet about reputations, about how people perceive us, yet here we call people, we call our lawyer and the eidim and everything else, and we can come and sign on the dotted line, I'm Chal, with all that goes with it. So it's imperative that people spread the word. We're trying to launch a Kirov movement here. People spread the word that Be'etzem, these contracts which people use daily, are Mamish Isurim, probably Isuri Deraisa. There are different ways to do it, like you've mentioned. And next year we'll continue with other aspects we discussed.